Oh, I was, I'd already hit record.
Oh, did you? Should we stop? Do it again?
No. Go ahead.
You can edit it out. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Welcome to the Dinner Agenda. This is Bo.
And this is CeeLo.
And before we get into our agenda item, I actually have a question for you. Have you seen those ads for the NYX bras?
Oh my God. Yes, I have. I get every plus size bra advertisement in my Instagram feed.
Do you?
I do.
Okay. Okay. I am dying to try these bras, but I'm really nervous that they're not going to be supportive enough for my girls. Do you want to try them? Have you tried them?
I did buy a NYX bra a while back.
Tell me.
I liked the material. It was super comfy. I went like no underwire.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah.
Super comfortable, but the straps were adjustable, which in a lot of bras I'm finding are you get it and it's not adjustable, so you can't adjust the how high the girls are up, you know.
So the NYX bras are adjustable.
They are adjustable. Okay. But it didn't adjust enough for me. I don't know if I'm really short from like shoulder to tit. I don't know what that is, but I need to hike that shit up. And it didn't allow me to tighten it enough. And so felt like the girls were a little saggy in it, to be honest. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So comfortable, but not a recommendation, I guess. No?
That it was a while back when I did it. And I keep seeing a new one, advertised and I'm going to pull the trigger on it. I think I'm going to get another one. So if I order it, I'll try it on and give a full report back.
Yeah. Could you, because you know, I mean, obviously bras are not the most comfortable thing in the world. These things have grabbed my attention just because they do look super comfortable.
Yeah.
But I don't want to waste the money. You know what I mean? If it's going
to
be crap.
And I find if you can't like go into a store to do a return.
Yeah.
I don't know. It always feels like it's a hard process to do returns online. And I'm like, I hesitate to do it, but I need some new bra. What we should do is we should order like one of each different kind, like the Shapermint, the NYX. There was a couple others that I've seen, and we'll do like a review.
Actually,
give the people the information they need.
I love that idea, and I say that we should do it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Okay, great.
Future item. Okay, so I had one other thing, a follow on from our last convo when we were talking all about fatness.
Yes.
I was at a lunch yesterday with a whole bunch of adult people that I don't know. It was my daughter's basketball parents.
Okay.
And I hadn't really met them before. I didn't really know them. And we went out to a restaurant in between games. And I'm looking over the menu and I'm thinking to myself, I really want that buffalo chicken sandwich. But will all of these skinny basketball moms judge me, and they're all getting the beet and goat cheese salad.
Right.
And
okay.
I was like reluctant to order what I wanted. Has that ever happened to you?
Are you fucking kidding? Of course that happens to me. I know, but
do you actually not order what you want because of that?
No. I end up just ordering it because like ordering what I want. Mind you, just a second. I am going to take that back. I think it does depend on who I'm with.
Yeah.
So in that type of situation, not knowing those people, I'm going to go with no. I think I would have ordered what I wanted. I'm going to go with that answer.
Okay. So I went half and half. I got the buffalo chicken sandwich and it was delish. And it's not even the bun. I just love buffalo chicken. Mm-hmm. So like I ate half of it with the bun and the other half, I was kind of getting full. So I took the bun off, but I displayed the bun prominently on my plate. So they knew I wasn't like a total fat cow. For the other half, instead of getting fries, I got a garden salad with balsamic.
Oh my God.
My daughter had ordered a salad because they try and eat a little bit healthy between games. They don't want to eat too heavy, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She had ordered a nice salad with shrimp and a bunch of stuff on it, which is awesome. But she ordered a side of fries and she came over and she's like, I have a whole bunch of leftover fries. Mama, you want some? I'm like, no, I'm good. Thank you. I've got my garden salad here.
I'm loving my salad. Would you like half of my bun?
Right. Yeah. I've got some all wet with Frank's hot sauce, buffalo sauce bun here.
Hilarious. Yeah. That's really funny. Well, I'm sorry you felt that way, but I get why you felt that way for sure.
Yeah. I didn't want all these. And I think it depends on who I'm with. Like I was the largest size person there. They were all, you know, Tesla driving skinny West End moms. And I hopefully they don't listen to this pod, but I felt like if I ordered something that was too fatty, they would be like, oh, look, there's the fatty ordering the fatty. You know what I mean?
Full of judgy. Full of judgy eyes. Judgy. Yeah.
And they see, and they, I have no reason to think that. They seem super nice. They were chatting. You know what I mean? Like it's all on me. It has nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's really funny. Well, you know what? I'm glad you got your greens in yesterday then. You must have had a good bowel movement today with all the fiber. That
made it okay to get home at 9:30 and eat pizza. That made me. Girl. I felt like it was justified that I have the pizza. Anyways, and now I'm gonna think about like how often do I feel that way and do that. So I'm gonna like start taking a mental note of that. Yeah,
yeah, like paying attention to how you feel. Yeah, that's interesting. And it's funny because usually I'm the more insecure one out of the two of us. So that's probably something that I would do. And the funny thing is the fact that you were more self-conscious about it, and I'm kind of like, you know what? I probably would have been self-conscious about it, but still ordered the burger. It makes me laugh. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, it was – well, I think almost every guy except for Coach. Coach is a really healthy eater. But all the dads that were there all had these like double stack burgers and fries. And all the moms had the beet and goat cheese salad. So
It was
funny. Well, anyways.
You're a lesbian, so you could have ordered the burger.
I'd like the Roadhouse Dyke, please. Okay, cool. Okay, so I'll take a mental note. All right, what do we got?
Yep.
What do we got on the agenda for today?
We are talking about PTSD.
Oh, interesting. Good one. Good topic. I saw that you'd added it to our list, and so I looked up what does PTSD stand for, and I think that nowadays people are fairly common with post-traumatic stress disorder. And I think, you know, back in the day, people associated it with people who had gone to war, right? With veterans or victims of major kind of crimes or something like that.
Yeah, like kidnapping or,
kidnapping. Mm-hmm. And but now you certainly hear about it more often, right? It's more common to hear about the PTSD term being used around all different types of things that have happened to people. So it's described as a disorder that develops in some people who have experienced a shocking, scary, or dangerous event. And I think it's pretty natural to feel afraid during or after any kind of traumatic situation. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Like I think, you know, I think it's the body's fight or flight response, right? Like it's a way that our minds help us understand how to avoid or I guess respond to that danger, right? So it's a natural protection mechanism, but it ends up fucking us up in some way, right?
Because it's like a protection mechanism that comes in maybe during, I don't know, maybe you have info on that, maybe during the actual traumatic event, but certainly afterwards to help protect you from whatever it is that that had happened that was traumatic.
Yeah, it's almost like I don't have any information on, you know, if that, I think this is more like after the event has occurred that this, it's like, cause it's post-traumatic, right? It's afterwards. But I know that, you know, it stays with you and it is, like we're just wired. Our brains are wired for survival, right? So it is storing that trauma in a part of the brain that's going to allow you to remember it so that you can avoid that ever happening to you again. You know, it's a great mechanism for our brains to protect ourselves this way, but it comes with a whole host of terrible side effects and symptoms, right?
Yeah.
That really can damage a person's well-being and quality of life for sure.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. So there's a different range of reactions after trauma. I don't think everyone gets PTSD because they've had a traumatic experience. Maybe some people are able to recover more easily, or maybe they don't recover and they just go on with life and kind of carry that with them and they have it kind of undiagnosed, eh?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there that are like that, that actually have it undiagnosed. And I think we're hearing a little bit more about it nowadays because I think there's a little bit more focus on mental health. There's more coverage for people to go and seek out mental health support and therapy. And so, you know, people are starting to realize that they're, you know, they have this, or that there's more people out there that have this, you know, than ever before. And so that's probably why we're hearing more about it. But I think that there's still a very large portion of people that don't understand that there are people walking around with this. And I think that they may not understand the severity of it because, you know, when you think of PTSD, you're not thinking about that friend of yours, you know, you're thinking about the people that you see on TV, the, you know, Elizabeth Smart, she got kidnapped. She was held hostage for X amount of time. And, and you're thinking about those kinds of people, but the side effects of having PTSD are the same for everyone who has it, essentially, right? So it's just as debilitating for sure.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And you've actually been diagnosed, eh?
I was. So, I mean, I've been in therapy, you know, that for the last 5 years to deal with my stupid, fucked up, dysfunctional family. And as a result of that, it's like you learn a lot about your life and experiences and all that stuff. And so I was actually... There's two types of PTSD that I'm aware of, and I was diagnosed with both of them. The first one is like PTSD, and then the other one is called complex PTSD.
Because you're a complex individual.
Yes, that's why, because I'm a complex individual. Yeah, no, it's right. It's but it's one, like the PTSD is typically dealing with like an event that has occurred,
right?
Like, and so this one time event that has occurred has put trauma into a certain part of your brain and you know, caused this post-traumatic stress disorder, right? But the complex PTSD is, you get that from more long-term involvement with like the
repeated events almost? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I was listening to this podcast a while back, and I'll have to try and find whose podcast it was and what episode it was, because they were talking about PTSD. And they connected the fact, like when you can't sit still and you're always going, and this guilt you have when you're not being a productive member of the household is a form of PTSD. And I was like, oh my God, I have that. I have that. But the thing with that, and now I'm going to have to, I feel like I need to do some research on it, but because it there was no specific traumatic event that I can remember anyway happened to me. But growing up, I had a single mom, four kids. Mom was going to school. Mom was working. Mom was taking care of four kids. I mean, she never sat down. And so I feel like maybe that's just the model that I'm representing when I do the same thing. I'm always puttering around. I'm always picking up. I'm always, you know what I mean? And when I, and it's fine. I think most parents out there are kind of doing the same thing. But when I do sit down for a minute to relax or to watch a show, I feel guilty.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny that you say that. I question, because I know that you said maybe it's, you're just kind of mimicking what you were taught from your seeing your mom do this. But I do actually wonder if there might be some element of PTSD associated with this. You know, obviously I'm not a doctor. I can't diagnose you, but just from what you're saying, because I know that.
I saw your math scores in high school. There's no way you're a friggin' doctor. No math and science for you.
Listen, shut up. Shut up. But you don't tell these people these things. No, I'm kidding. But you know, it's your childhood. Okay. So if you think about this, your father left your mom for another woman. Mm-hmm. Your mom was left to raise four kids on her own. Mm-hmm. And I think although there was financial support that was provided by your dad, I think the majority of the upbringing and the care was solely placed on your mom, right? Because your dad also had moved, you know, further away out. Yeah. So you couldn't see him as frequently. So
totally.
You know, yeah. So I think that all of that's going to play a part in trauma for a child, right? Because you're probably seeing the disbandment of the family unit. You are watching.
Also, like the actual divorce, dad leaving was the trauma that I don't know, maybe. I mean, the way that they were talking about it, and I got to fucking remember what it was, but the way they were talking about it was more centered around that guilt, that inability to be able to sit down and relax and not feel guilty. That's the link. There's something there that is what they were kind of referencing. And I thought that was curious, but
yeah,
I've said nothing about it.
No. Well, let me tell you, cause I know we'll kind of go into a little bit more about the PTSD, but you know that my brother left his first wife for another woman.
Yeah.
And so like just the similarities here that this is bringing up for me as you're talking. So the day that they sat my niece down to say that they were going to be divorcing, whatever. Mm-hmm. My niece had come over to my house after she had been told
how
this
old
news.
Was she? I can't remember.
She was about nine. I think she was about nine.
Okay, so about the same as me, yeah.
Yeah. And so we were sitting there and I had said to her, you know, honey, are you okay? And, you know, how do you feel? And do you want to talk about this? And she had this like glassy look to her eyes, literally like, and she was just kind of like staring ahead and her responses were very, no, I'm okay. No, I'm okay. But you could tell her face was very pale. Like she was definitely off. And to me, it looked like she was in shock. That's what it looked like to me. And she just didn't want to talk about it. She was just blank. And so there was obviously a trauma that took place. It was a shock for her. There was fear. There had to have been a whole bunch of emotions that went along with the trauma of hearing that your parents and your family unit is going to be broken up, right? And I'll tell you, to this day, when there's family conflict, I can see that anxiety and that inability for her to process the situation. I can see it in her face and I can see it in her eyes. And that same look that she had as a nine-year-old girl where her eyes went glassy and her face went pale, I can see the exact same response in her now. And she's in her mid to late 20s.
Wow. That's crazy. Yes.
So I'm telling you, when you sit there and you say your inability to sit still, I should say, and that you're moving around and doing whatever, I mean, we don't know if it's PTSD for sure because you haven't been diagnosed.
Yeah.
But I do suspect that there was some trauma around that situation that you lived with. And don't forget, back then, there was not a lot of help for people, right? Like, so your mom would have had to have navigated this by herself, not knowing what the fuck she was actually doing. So sure you guys absorbed a lot more than, you know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we could probably do another pod, like digging in on that a little bit. But I think what I remember was, I think, they sat us all down and said that dad wasn't going to be living there anymore. And I immediately thought, oh my God, he's sick. He has to go to the hospital or something along those lines. And they were like, no, not sick, not going to the hospital, going to live somewhere else. And I almost felt relieved, right?
Oh, that, God.
Okay, well, yeah, it's fine. You know? So anyways, I mean, maybe it's stuff over time. Who knows? Okay. So
yeah.
Back to you.
Okay. So you're fucked up and you need therapy. That's what this is.
Well, okay. That's a whole other podcast. We could do like a, what is it called? Like a sequel.
Who's more fucked up? It's like a game show. Who's more fucked up? Bo or CeeLo?
Equally fucked. That's why we friends.
That's right.
So funny. So, okay. So I haven't made the steps to go talk to anyone or to actually get anything diagnosed, but you, smarty pants, did that. You went to see someone to talk about it.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, it's because it was affecting my life for sure. And I don't know if you feel that it's that your situation is affecting you, you know.
I'm tired all the time.
Okay. But mine was like, it was bordering on debilitating, quite frankly. Yeah. So that
What kind of symptoms?
So I had these crazy flashbacks. So let me just kind of give you like a quick overview. So like the PTSD, that was from a rape incident and also from an abusive doctor. So there were two separate events that happened two separate times that had caused PTSD. Obviously, my brain is, you know, a little bit more wired to hold on to trauma, right? I'm going to assume, because I haven't been able to work through any of that stuff. So that's where the PTSD came from. And then the complex PTSD came from obviously my family, dysfunctional family and my upbringing and the abuse that I had, endured, within my family unit. But the flashback specifically, so how this first came about was a diagnosis of PTSD. When I first started talking to the therapist, because of the, insane amount of flashbacks that I was having and how severe they were. So like I would, you know, wake up and it was usually just as I was coming out of sleep when my, you know, body was really relaxed and everything was kind of quiet. And I would get this memory in my head of the event that had occurred, like for the rape, for example. And it would be so vivid as if I had literally just relived it. And even though this thing had happened like 20, 25 years ago, it was, you know what I mean? Like it was as if it was still happening. Mm-hmm. And when that would happen, it would stay with me and I would ruminate for like a week on, like I would just be consumed with memories and rumination of what had happened and why I couldn't have saved myself and protected myself and, you know, like all of that stuff. And it would stay with me and destroy me for that week. And it was so hard to concentrate at work. It was so hard to, you know, interact with my husband. It was terrible, right? So
how frequent was it getting to that point where it was impacting your day to day? Like how often would you have that happen?
I would say probably once a month, maybe sometimes once every 2 weeks that would happen. If I was watching something that triggered it, sort of like, you know, if I saw a rape scene in a movie, then game over, of course, that was I was triggered. If somebody was talking about something, if I was listening to a story even about a woman being abused by another man, not necessarily sexually, but physically, right? Like any type of abuse would kind of like any stories that I would hear about it would trigger it as well. So, you know, I say once every 2 weeks, once a month, but you know, it was quite frequent when you kind of put all of that together. So,
oh my God. Yeah. Even if it happened once every 6 months, I would feel like that's too much. If it's impacting your day-to-day life and your relationship with people or your ability to work or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm glad that you went to the doctor about it. And what did you say? Or did it take you know, what made you reach out to the therapist? Is it because this was happening? And then what did you sit down on that, like, or sorry, lay down on the therapy couch and say?
Yeah, because that's what they do. They lay you down on the therapy couch.
Like, did it take a while to get at, uncover it? I'm curious about that part.
Do you want to know what's funny? It actually didn't. And that's what's so shocking and surprising. It's almost like I was asleep my whole life, right? And not realizing. But I think when you're in it, you just don't know, right? So I think that, so why I sought out therapy was because I was having issues interaction with my brother's new wife, right? And I was, for some reason, it was causing a lot of chaos and drama in the family. And so I had went to a therapist and said, can you help me navigate this? Okay. And so as I began that journey, well, of course, a whole bunch of other things popped out,
started to come out
before we even got down to that thing. But one of the things that came out relatively quickly was when I was talking a little bit about some of the things that I have gone through in my life and the rape thing had come up and, you know, how emotional I got when I was remembering and explaining to the therapist what had actually happened. And that's when she said, okay, let's pause there for a second, because we're going to have to talk about this before we move on to anything else.
Yeah.
Because you're showing classic signs of PTSD here and we have to work through this. And so she started to explain to me, what these memories that I would have, mm-hmm. what they were. She was saying that these are what flashbacks are. That's a flashback. And it occurs because of this reason. And it's a natural response that somebody has when they've been through trauma. And so she was putting an explanation to what I was actually feeling. And I would say probably within two sessions, that became very clear what I was experiencing, why I was experiencing it, why I would get so emotional. Like if I saw something happen on TV, or in a movie, why it would get me to that point of just absolute, like, and I would, you know, be saying to my husband, like, I can't believe men are terrible. They're horrible. Like, you know, I would just go off. Right. And I now get why. And within that those two sessions, I understood why.
Mm-hmm. I'm in shock. I thought it would have taken...
It didn't fix me in two.
No. Well, that's going to be a long time. No, but that it took only two. Yeah. So like, I feel like that's encouraging for someone who's thinking about going to therapy to figure out, you know, what's going on. And the fact that you went for something completely different and got to the bottom of this, you know, that's awesome. And then, okay, so... Now you've uncovered it. Now she's put a name tag to it.
Yeah.
What was the treatment for it? Like, what did you have to – was there stuff that you had to do? Was it, like, medication? Yeah. What kind of things did you have to do?
Yeah. So it started off with the typical behavioral talk therapy, right? That's what it – and that's what it started with. And I think that – that was important for me because it was also quite educational. You know, she taught me or educated me, I guess, a little bit about how our brains work, you know, why they hold on to trauma, why some people don't, you know what I mean? Like it's just, it's
it
all about
change.
That.
Like it can physically change, right? Your brain.
Absolutely. 100%. And so that was important. And then also, you know, that behavioral therapy also taught me a little bit more about how it was not my fault. And, you know, that was beyond my control and that my inability to like my inability to scream or my, you know what I mean? It was a normal reaction because I was frozen. Right. So that was very helpful. But then after that, we did a type of therapy that's called EMDR. And
that was a game changer. Telling me about that.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it stands for.
Yeah. It was a game changer. So it stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Basically, you know, it was a therapy. It was developed
like
back
something
in
something out of the '60s.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, but it's not from the '60s.
Shockwave.
It's definitely not Shockwave. Trust me, it's not. It was actually developed in 1987. So it was in the '80s. I think it was Dr. Francine Shapiro who had developed this therapy specifically to treat post-traumatic stress disorder. And what it basically does is, so it says, like, you know, I gave you the definition, it says eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And that's essentially what it is. It uses eye movements. And sometimes it's rhythmic tapping instead, but typically it uses eye movements and that changes the way the actual memory is stored in the brain. And then it allows you to process it. So it helps you work through painful memories with your body's natural functions. And that helps you recover from the trauma. The thing with me is, I mentioned sometimes it's rhythmic tapping. I actually did the tapping instead of the eye movement. Yeah, because I was finding when I was doing the eye movement, I was focusing more on moving my eyes properly and I was finding it hard to get into the memory. Yeah. So we just switched to tapping and that worked just as well because really what it's trying to do is it's you're tapping on either sides of your body. So your eyes are either like crossing your arms and using your hands to tap each of your upper arms, or the therapist is tapping each side of your ankle, your left and your right side of your legs, that kind of thing. So it's really just, it's sensitizing the certain parts of your brain as you go work through the memory.
Okay. So two things. One is, I've known you long enough to know how coordinated of a person you are. And shut so I'm picturing you,
You're an asshole.
Movement and like, no, no, don't move your head. Just your eyeball. Oh, see, just keep your head still and follow the pet. Okay. Okay. Let's try something else. Tap your elbows instead. That's what the doctor did to you, isn't it?
Listen, you're an ass and go fuck yourself. No, listen, I am clumsy.
It's so crazy. Like, I think it's awesome. Like, I subscribe to the school of if it fucking works, go fucking do it. Right? Like, if it works, do it. But it does, it sounds kind of freaky. It sounds like something, woo-woo-y and hippie and all that jazz, right?
Because it's like actually engaging like two sides of your brain.
Yeah.
Like stimulating two different sides of your brain. And it's actually reprocessing memories. Right. So it's like,
so while you're tapping, do you talk through shit that happened?
Yeah. Yeah. So PTSD causes like permanent changes in parts of your brain. Yeah. Right. And so in order to actually work through it and you using this EMDR therapy, it's hitting your amygdala, your hippocampus, your prefrontal cortex, all of those nice little, scientific terms
remember from grade 10 health or something.
Exactly. Like it's hitting all of those areas. But what is actually occurring is you tap into, so like you're using that stimuli either through eye movement or tapping, and you access the actual memory. So the therapist wants you to relive the memory. And so you're talking to with your eyes closed if you're tapping or with, your eyes moving. You're going into the memory. You're talking to the therapist about what happened. You're going step by step by what had occurred, what you were feeling at the time. And, it's difficult because you're reliving it. So you're crying or you're, feeling really anxious. And then she talks to you about what physical sensations you're feeling at that very moment in time. So you are saying, I'm getting really hot or I'm feeling tingling in my arms.
My heart rate going up or whatever.
Chest. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So you're describing not only the memory, but also the physical feelings you're having at that moment. And then so that's what happens. And then as you begin to get through that memory, the therapist starts to talk about, okay, so now if you were looking at yourself in that moment, what would you want to say to that person? What would you want to tell them? How would you comfort them? And you start walking through that. And as you begin to walk through that more positive experience, the tapping really begins. And so what's happening is it's really kind of putting it into those sections of the brain, that self-talk and that new kind of memory that you're creating or that new talk that you're creating for yourself. It's putting it into that section of the brain. And it's now starting to replace more of the traumatic memory with deeper understanding, compassion, less severity. It's kind of like bringing
like empathy for yourself and helps you get out of it. But
But it replaces the memory in a sense, right? So,
well, it doesn't, I feel like it doesn't replace the memory per se, but it replaces the response to the event.
It does. So there's different, you're right. It's not like actually replacing the memory. It is maybe a wrong choice of words. It's probably adding an element of the trauma with new memories or new, I don't know what we want to call it, understanding. So, but you're right.
Mm-hmm. You were having those flashbacks every 2 weeks to a month, and then more stuff getting piled on with your brother's lovely new wife that he had. This is a few years back, but and so now that you've started the therapy, did you notice a big difference right away or did it take some time?
So I would say after 5 sessions I had
of the EMDR specifically.
Of the EMDR therapy specifically, after 5 sessions I didn't have any more flashbacks about the rape. I have not had a flashback about that rape since. And I can also watch movies that have a rape scene and I don't like it and I think it's disgusting and I hate
seeing it. But have a more normal response.
Yep. But I'm not like to my husband, move to the other sofa, please, because you're too close to me. Or, you know what I mean? Like that's not happening anymore. So it has completely desensitized, to a certain extent, my reactions, and my emotions that were originally there. And just not having those flashbacks is such a miracle to me. It is, I can't tell you how much that has changed or how much it's made a huge difference in my life, for sure.
Oh my God, I can only imagine. And what about for the, you talked earlier about the complex PTSD.
Yeah.
And so like, it sounds like the EMDR was super effective at that kind of single traumatic event and getting you out of that. What about for the complex? Does it help with something like that as well?
It does. So unfortunately, you know, it's such a difficult situation when you're dealing with family trauma and, you know, situations, because we can't all leave our families, you know, like there's a lot tied into that. But so with the complex PTSD, it can be treated with EMDR therapy as well. Yeah. It works the best, obviously, if you are not in that situation anymore. So for people who have actually severed ties with their abusers, whether it be a family member or a husband or whatever, or a wife, whatever, if you're actually away from that trauma, the EMDR therapy works a lot better and a lot faster, obviously. I have stopped having a relationship with my brother, but I still have one with my mother because she is quite old. And so I feel that there is an element of support, even though I sometimes feel that she may not deserve that support from me. But, you know, I think having to deal with the guilt of not helping, and like, it just makes me sick to my stomach to not think about an old person. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do it. So,
it's too hard to cut out sometimes, and have family be completely in your past. So it does require a bit of a different approach and support for some of those tough decisions of, hey, I am going to cut out these people versus, no, I'm going to need to stick around on this. And so I'm going to need different levels of support almost from a therapist to deal with that, right?
Absolutely. But knowing that this is the situation I'm in, I am actually now at the point where I am doing EMDR therapy for the complex post-traumatic stress disorder for the family. And so here's what I've noticed. So it's taking longer than it did for the actual PTSD events. Okay. So those PTSD events, the rape, the issue with the doctor, those on average for me, and everybody's going to be different, but on average for me, about 5 sessions dealing with each of those issues seem to kind of do that trick to lessen the severity of emotions, flashbacks, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. For the complex PTSD, I am still involved with my family, with some of my family members who are abusers. And so what this has done, so it's taking longer. I've been doing it for a little longer than 5 sessions. But what it's doing for me is minimizing my emotional reactions. So, you know, just to quickly explain. So my mother and my brother are what are sometimes referred to as covert narcissists. They are the worst of the worst that you can get. They're just very mean and vindictive and manipulative. And but yet they are beautiful con artists out in public. People think that they are the most engaging, charming people. And so it is a very difficult situation to be involved in, because behind the scenes is where all the hurting is happening, right? Yeah. So with the events that would occur or things that they would do, it would set me off and my emotions would get the best of me. I would just like get so angry. And then I would yell at my mother and I'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, blah, blah. Like I would just kind of go at it. And, you know, and then of course you're hit with all this guilt for yelling at your old mother. And, you know, it's.
And then like a classic narcissist, she's going to do whatever she can to make you feel even more guilty.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. You know? Yeah. So it was a no-win situation and it was really affecting me, because, you know, my emotions were all over the fucking place. Like they were everywhere. And with this EMDR therapy, what I'm actually noticing, and so I've been doing this, I'm going to say for about 4 months now.
Yeah.
And I have realized, I would say probably over the last, over the last month and a half or so, my reactions to my mom's attempts at triggering me are so much more balanced. Mm. I don't seem to have the same heightened reactions that I had before. I'm not ruminating on, after she does something, ruminating on, I cannot believe I have a mother that is so cruel that she would do something like this, say something like this, threaten me this way, you know, like, and that would stay with me for so long. And now it's like, I hear it, I get upset, but I'm calm. So yeah. I don't react to her. Yeah. And then it's, you know, within a day or so, I'm able to just move on.
Yeah.
Not that I forget.
Yeah. No, but taking days of feeling like, when you're in a stressful situation or you've had an argument with someone, I always, you know, you have that feeling in the pit of your stomach, like it sits with you somehow. It's there all the time and it impacts you. It impacts your mood and how you treat other people. And so the fact that you can, that the EMDR is helping and that you can take that feeling and then kind of move on from it within, you know, a decent amount of time is amazing. Like I'm totally shocked. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. You know, I have to say I am very lucky that I had found a therapist that was able to recognize what was happening. Because, you know, first of all, this therapist recognized that there was some PTSD. But then in addition to that, when I began speaking about my brother and his new wife and why I had originally come there, it became, you know, clear within a few sessions that there was a very dysfunctional family dynamic that I had never been aware of. Right. I had thought, you know, because I was conditioned my entire life to think that this was normal. This was what families behave like. And so just knowing that this therapist was able to find this and identify it and then suggest to me. So you know, there's a she suggested a specialized trauma therapist as well that deals with complex PTSD. And that, you know, I see that person as well for the complex one and EMDR treatment as well. And the fact that this therapist was aware of this treatment, because I don't know how many are.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people who go out to seek therapy and, you know, they may not connect with their therapist right off the bat. And they think that that's what this experience is about. Some people have to search for a long time to find.
I can imagine that, like, it has to be such a good connection in order to get the most out of it, I would think.
Yeah. Not I got lucky.
I've never done it, but not saying I shouldn't.
No. But you know what? I think that our issues, like not issues, but our symptoms and the impacts to our lives are a little bit different. I mean, you talk about the inability to sit still. But I also know that you've mentioned you get a lot of shit done, right? And so for you,
it's pros, I guess.
Yeah, like maybe it's not interfering with your life.
Okay, so it's not that just the inability to sit still. It's the guilty feeling. Like getting all my, I'm not, you know, when I get home from work and I got to pick up this and do that and Mel is always in charge of cooking and getting all that stuff sorted, but I always help with that or take out the garbage. You know, I'm always like doing stuff. Mel's like, why don't you just sit down for a minute? I'll get dinner going and you can chill. And I'm like, no, because I got to get this stuff done and I want to get it done so that then I can sit down after when my chores are done. I want to be able to relax. So
it's kind of like perfection. Do you think it's like this need to be absolutely perfect?
Maybe a little bit of that. I don't know. I feel guilty when I'm sitting doing nothing.
Okay.
I actually texted Mel today and said, the list of things that I got done already today. And now, by the way, don't come down. I'm working on the pod with Bo. But why did I have to include a whole list of things I had done in order to do something that I want to do, spend time on something for me? Like, what is that? That's crazy, right?
No, well, no, it's not. Well, you are crazy, yes, but that's not crazy. No, no, honestly, I think there's definitely more to this. And I don't think you should be feeling guilty. And I don't think that you need to put that on yourself. But you obviously are for a certain reason. And maybe that is something you should explore.
Yeah.
Or consider exploring. I mean, you know.
We could try hypnosis.
Oh, my God. Yes, we could. We could
make you quack like a duck on a stage. No?
You know what? I think.
Oh, what a nice little duck. Quack, quack.
I think you should let me try to hypnotize you.
What would you make me do?
Oh my God. I don't know. You're already
kind of crazy.
I don't know. I'll have to see. I'll have to think about this. But yeah, I think maybe we should do a podcast where we both get hypnotized. That would be pretty funny.
It would be totally funny. Okay. I don't understand how that shit works. It's kind of crazy to me, but.
I know. Me too. Maybe and maybe it's a part
of the EMDR works for you. So yeah, like, there's something to it, man. There's something awesome. To it for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, good chat today.
Yeah. Very good chat. I'm glad that we were able to have this conversation, and I think I'm going to pass you my therapist number.
I think that's probably a good idea.
Okay. All right. So on that note then, until the next time, thank you everybody for joining us. This is Bo.
And this is CeeLo. Thanks for taking a seat at the table today. We love our dinner guests.
Don't forget to subscribe and follow The Dinner Agenda on the podcast platform you use so that you don't miss any new episodes. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Dinner Agenda.
We look forward to hearing your comments, questions, and even ideas you may have on future episodes.
Thanks for taking this journey with us.